So last week we laid out a framework for learning Lisha, sort of laid out some of the larger issues that emerge, the major machlokes within the Gemara, machlokes, Rish Tanoim, machlokes Amram, and some of the factors. What I'd like to do now maybe is two things. Rosh Hashanah had a chance to really, dig pretty deep. So I want to do two different things. Number one, to lay out each Rishon has his way of working through a lot of the variables of the Gemara. Do you pass like Rabbi Yonasi? Do you pass like Rabbi Yehuda? And do you assume that Kali and Shasis are the same, like many Rishonim do, or not, like the Rambam, and so on and so forth? So there are a lot of there are a lot of variables in play. When is it Mutter? When is it Aser? The first thing I want to do is just sort of lay out the three major approaches we showed him to what's the list of when is it mutter legabel? When is it mutter legabel? Once again, machlokas hatanoim, whether nisinas mayim alone is already a chi of lishan, that's the approach of Yudah Nasi, or whether like Rosh Yehuda says, Nesinas Mayim is not Chi of Daraisa. The Chi of Daraisa of Lisha is only when you're actually Megabal, you actually mix it. Nesinas Mayim might be also Mitrabanon, but not also in the Torah. And then the second major point that emerges from Kuf Nun Vav is that we differentiate between Belila Ava and Belila Raka. The Belila Ava, when it's actually a dough, when it hangs together, when it's not pourable, so that's when you have the possibility of Lisha Daraisa. But we assume that if you're only creating Blila Rak, if you're creating a batter that's pourable, that's why the Chazanish and others define the difference between Raka and Ava. So if it's pourable, then it's definitely not Lash Daraisa. But again, it may be Lash Midrabanan. Layered on top of those two major factors is that the Gemara tells us, particularly in Kuf Nun Vav, that we are sometimes matir lisha if you do it with a shinui. Generally what that means is if lisha drabanan with a shinui, it's a trade drabanan, so it's going to be mutter at times, at least letzorach. Trade drabanan is not automatically mutter, just to put that as a side point, but an important side point. Just because something is not doraisa for two reasons, a double drabanan, doesn't automatically make it mutter. There is a rule of gzeira l'gzeira, that Chazal generally would not make a gzeira l'gzeira, but that's where you have a chain. If Chazal forbade, let's say, making a Belila Raka, because you may come to make a Belila Ava, they wouldn't then say, and don't do this, don't make chocolate milk, because you may come to make a Belila Raka. A chain, don't do A because it leads to B, and don't do B because it leads to C, that's Gzera L'Gzera, and that generally Chazal do not institute. But here, what you're dealing with is a trade Rabbanan. The two different reasons that happen to coincide, two different reasons why it's not Daraisa. It's a Belila Raka, and it's a Shina, or something like that. But it's not one leans to the next, leans to the next. If it's not in a chain, that's what we call a trade Rabbanan. Trade Rabbanan is not automatically mutter. Trade Rabbanan is usually aser. That's not gzera l'gzera. However, as we're seeing here in the world of Lisha, Chazal will often, in particular scenarios, say this is only trade Rabbanan l'tzorach, as mutter. That's definitely a part of what's going on. That's part of what's going on in the mix of probably what's going on in the sugya of Lisha. And then finally, there's the issue, before we start laying out just three different combinations of Tanoim, there's the issue of Bar Gibel and La Bar Gibel. Rav Rimon actually sends you to a Pirush HaMishnayis in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, to a Pirush HaMishnayis in Olas. This is a fantastic. I don't know if you found this. You found this by learning Mishnayis Taurus with Rambam, or he found the code somewhere earlier. Maybe he's seen the Shavuos HaShabbos somewhere, I'm not really sure. That's fantastic. It's in the second parak of Olos deals with the different substances that convey tumas mace. Olos is about tumas mace. The second parak is largely about if you have an entire mace, the entire mace is matami. But how about less than an entire mace? How about a piece of a mace? How about if it's only bone? How about if it's only blood? What's the shear? And how about if it's a decomposed mace? So in the discussion of rekav, of decomposition, the Mishnah talks about a scenario where it got mixed with water. So the Rambam there starts talking about Gibul and Lav Bar Gibul and references in the context of that Mishnah, Perek Beis Mishnah Beis, he references, and Halas, the Rambam references our sugyas, that Afer is a Lav Bar Gibul. And that's why a level of Daraisa, and that's why a level of Tum Vatara, if you have these particles that are Metame Tumas Meis, but they're not metame tumas maga. They're only metame because you need enough of a shear, enough of the particles to have a shear to transmit tumah. So if you could lift a whole pile of rekav particles, you could be under the ohel with a whole pile of rekav particles. But there's no way to touch a whole pile of rekav particles. I mean, there could be a pile and you touch the side of it, but it's not considered to be mechubar yachad. They remain separate particles, and so that's why any one piece is way too small to be a shear. Ram says it's never going to be tumas maga. Oh, you can only have a shear if there's some way of relating to all at the same time, namely masa or oh. So it's in that context Ram talks about the gibul of Afer does not because it's a lav bar gibul, so it's not mechaber together. And he draws a line from that issue in Tumas Meis to Lisha. It's obviously radically different context, but a similar concept in terms of the power of liquid to be mechaber multiple small particles to be one. So because it's a lav bar gibul, just as in Hilchos Lisha, that's not a full act of Lisha. That's going to be true here as well. As you saw, the Rishonim have different ways of understanding what Lav Bar Gibul does. If you hold like Rosh Yehuda, the definition of Lisha is Gibul. Whether a Lav Bar Gibul, you're not Chayiv if it's a Lav Bar, if it's an item that doesn't blend together. In other words, a Bar Gibul is something like the Gemara says. You have soil with water or flour with water. So when it forms a uniform whole, the water gets absorbed, the liquid gets absorbed into the solid particles, and thereby they adhere into a uniform whole. That's a bar gibul. That's why afar is a bar gibul. That's why flour is a bar gibul. Whereas let's say ashes, or let's say chol hagas, Rambam talks about the coarse sand, things of that sort, and probably mursa, and probably bran. And certain types of flour that have a different consistency, like a toasted flour, kali. So there, it doesn't really form a single uniform whole. It'll be sort of suspended, the pieces will hang together, suspended in the water. But it's not as though the water all gets absorbed and you have one uniform whole the way you do by dough. That's a lav bar gibul. So a lav is a gibul. If you assume like Rosh Yehuda. The gibul, unlike Rabbi Yonasi, the gibul is the definition of lisha. So, and gibul of a bar gibul of kemach is chiv daraisa. So, gibul of a non being megabel, making dough out of a non bar gibul, mixing a non bar gibul is not a chiv daraisa. Asim jabanam, not a chiv daraisa. So, machlos rishonim, what does that do in terms of nesinas mayim? Okay, so now let's sort of lay everything. Let's lay everything out. And what I want to do is maybe put it on the board would be helpful. Brent, we're in good company here. So this is the board being used. So let's think about three views in Rishonim. There's a view of the Torah and many Rishonim. talk about the Rambam. And let's talk about Rabbeinu Baruch, the Baal Truma, and he has several later Chachmei Ashkenaz who follow him as well. And let's talk specifically about being Megabel Alav Bar Gibel. Being Megabel a Bar Gibel is typically something you're not going to be doing much of on Shabbos. But let's talk about being Megabel a Alav Bar Gibel. So let's just lay out the sheet. So what I want to do is sort of lay out, hopefully, to try to sketch what are the rules for each one. It's mutter. There may be you might push back on some of the things I say, and trying to, at least an attempt to sort of work out an organized approach to, a methodical approach, I should say, for thinking about the Rishonim. So that's number one. And then number two, hopefully let's talk about some practical Lisha scenarios, Asar Mutter, and why. So the tour in Rov Rishonim seemed to say that Gibul of Alav Bar Gibul is Mutter if... you have a shinoi. Remember, a case which is asur rabbanan is still asur. But a case where it's mutter, the Torah seems to say, if it's a shinoi, and either it's raka, or it is ma'at. That's what the Torah seems to say. If it's only a small amount and you have a shinoi, then it's mutter. Or if it's even if it's a blila ava. Blila ava, you're playing potentially with a daraisa. But if it's if the blila ava but it's ma'at plus you have a shinoi, then it's mutter, the Torah says. And he also says if it's a blila raka, then all you need is a shinoi, and then you're mutter. The shinoi, sort of the shinoyim that they talk about based on the Gemara tend to be shinoyim in the way that you sometimes talk about shinoyim in the way that you place it, in the way that you put it in. But often, poskim generally are happier when there's a shinoi in the way that you actually do the mixing. So let's say if it's shasi ve'erev, you do it crosswise instead of stirring, or in an item in sifim tesvav and tezayin, shin chafal, they talk about sauces where normal mixing isn't the normal way being megabel. It's whipping it up, you're making mustard or something like that. To be toreif bekoach is the way that you mix it. So then, even if you're going to stir it, rather than shes avery, stir it softly, that's the way you consider it to be shinoi. So that's the approach, I believe, the approach of the Torah. You need a shinoi plus either ma'at ma'at or it's a belila raka. And that's transforming this. Yeah, so then that's already enough that it should be. That it should be mutter if there's a tzorach. The Rambam is hard to read. Part of the complexity here also is that you keep talking about different cases. You're always trying to figure out. He says one thing on Morrison. He says nothing about Kali. He says nothing about Shatisa. And you're trying to figure out how do you pull it all together. Shechter commented to me when we were talking about the cases of Lisha. So he said. He said it's his impression that no one until like around 100 years ago, no one was attempting in a consistent way to give detailed definitions for malachas. I mean, the Rambam, some definition of malachas he definitely have, and the Rambam definitely tries to be more methodical about it. It's like until the Avinezer, you don't see anyone who's really giving like comprehensive, thorough definitions for each malach. That's really something you see around the period of the Avinezer. So it's hard, a little hard to work it out. I'll tell you what I thought the Rambam was saying, and then when you look at Shulchan Aruch, I discarded my Havli, you know, because I saw Shulchan Aruch by the Rambam differently. First, when you hear the Rambam, I had the impression the Rambam was saying, well, if it's ma'at, ma'at, then as long as it's a lot of bar gibel, it's mutter. Or if you have some other type of shinoi,
a shinoi in the, rather than a shinoi in the amount, a shinoi in the ofen hapu'ul, the way that you're mixing, the way that you're, the order of the ingredients. Or, if it's a davar gas, and it's a balula raka. That's the impression. That was the impression I got from the Rambam. And when he starts talking about the drabbanans in Perek Chavav, he talks about the drabbanans in two places. I realize I left out a couple of key things in the Rambam Kamos, which I apologize. The Rambam strangely comes back to Hilchas Lush after talking about Bishul in the middle of Perek Chav Beis. Halachas Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, and that corresponds to the third sugya in Masechah Shabbos of Lash, which is Daf Kuf Mem. But back in the end of Perichaf Aleph, that's what he seems to say, that if it's a thicker item, if it's a tchina gasa, the tchutfush loy v'yishlish. So if it's not a powder and you're making a blue laraka, then it's mutter. Or if it's a shinui, then it's mutter. Or if it's a ma'at, then it's mutter. That's the Rambam. I thought the Rambam was saying. I crossed that out when I looked at the Shulchan Aruch. You look at Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chaf Aleph. See, he presents it as different. Remove the parentheses. It says ma'at ma'at is mutter, or else a combination of a davar gas and the raka or a shinui. If you read the Shulchan Aruch slowly and carefully, I think that's what comes out. And that's the approach of the Rambam. Again, this is in part built on the fact that the Rambam differentiates between Kali and Shtisa. So that allows the Rambam to come up with this. And then finally, Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch is totally different. Rabbeinu Baruch paskens like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And Rabbeinu Baruch is quoted by, as you saw, the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Baruch as being quoted by a couple of late Chachmei Ashkenaz, Shmuel Sedeshin quotes them, Shiva Aleka quotes them. And then there are later Balei HaTosafos who held themselves like Rabbeinu Baruch, the Smag and the Smak and so forth. So he paskened against most other Rishonim like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The way the Mishnah Berurah presents the Be'er Halacha, and we start talking about this last time, you have two Stam Mishnayos. They're at odds with each other. So usually halacha is stam, but you have two stam mishnayos. So usually when you're dealing with the stam and a machlokes, you follow the basra. Stam achach machlokes, you don't follow the stam, but machlokes achach stam, you follow the stam. So here maybe you should follow the basra. Here it's a stam achach stam, and they're at odds. So the Shabur pretends as Rav Yishon said, so follow the stam basra. And the stam basra is the mission of the last parak. Which says that Pasuk goes to Rabbi Yehuda. And on the other hand, Rabbeinu Baruch held that no, it's a stam versus a stam, so it's sort of a stalemate. So then forget about both stam mishnayos. Don't follow Basra. Stam versus stam is just evenly set. So then you ignore both stam mishnayos, in which case we have a general rule of halacha kerebi mechavero. It's Rabbi Yehuda against one other Tana, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbeinu Baruch is following halacha Rabbi Mechavero, and the other Rishonim, the Rov Rishonim, are following the Stam Basra. The Stam Basra as well as Sugi Deshmaita. The Gemaras sound like they're assuming like you. So the Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch appears to say that you need two things. It has to be the only way Gibel is going mutter is number one Rabbeinu Baruch says, the Nesinas Mayim is the Eser Daraisa. Chiyav Daraisa. Rabbi Yonasi. So he says, you gotta have the water in there before, generally you have to have water in there beforehand. Put in the water Erev Shabbos, then you don't mix until Shabbos. And even how are you doing the mixing? He says you need raka. So only give what terms you make in blila raka. A lot of liquid, you make a blila raka, and the shinoi in the lisha. A shinoi, not just a shinoi in the way that you the seder and the sina, the way that you pour them in, actual shinoi be'ofen alisha itself. That's what the Magen Avraham appears to say in Sif Katan Chav Dalet, based on the Ramah in Sif Tes Zayin over there. That's the way the Magen Avraham reads it. A difficult Taz. Magen Avraham says, "Now this is the glatt approach. You need blila raka and a shina belisha, and then it's mutter. Now and then halacha lamaisa, halacha lamaisa, halacha lamaisa." So halacha lemaisa, as I mentioned before, you have lisha shows up in primarily in two simanim, here in Shin Chaf Aleph, and then again in Shin Chaf Dalet Sif Gimel. Shin Chaf Dalet is a siman about feeding animals. All the halachas are feeding animals on Shabbos. So Sif Gimel is about this issue of feeding animals. How do you make it? Animal feed. You want to mix your mursan. That's it. You want to mix your mursan with water to make cold cereal, whatever you call it, to put in the trough for the animals. So that's so the Shulchan Aruch is most direct about this machlokas, whether we possibly agree to Yosef Yehuda or Bianasi. He's most direct about it in Shin Chav Dalet, and he presents the primary view as being the passing Yosef Yehuda. Which means that a lav bar gibel is significant. Lav bar gibel is going to help be matir. What's it called? It's going to help be matir gibel of a lav bar gibel. And the Ramah there doesn't say what he thinks. The Ramah on the Darkei Moshe is quite clear in Shin Chav Dalet. He thinks to Shimach Machmalak Amir Baruch. After all, you have the Trumas Hageshen quoted him in the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't say anything Shin Chav Dalet, but back in Shin Chav Aleph, if you read the Ramah slowly and carefully, he tells you that you should, in not so many words, in Sif Tazayin, at the end of these three C from Shin Chav Aleph, he says that essentially that he paskins like a Rebbe Baruch. He paskins like a Rebbe Baruch. Only the mutter if you did an actual shinu in the Lisha Ramah, right? And it's raka. So Magen Avraham points out. That's what he talks about shatisa. So where does this leave us halacha lamasa? According to Rabbeinu Baruch, whom the Ramah seems to be fond of, and as Ashkenazim you should therefore be interested in, there is no way, zero, to make a belila chava. That's the most fundamental thing. Again, what I put on the board is like process, no pun intended. But as we showed, we're looking at different pieces of the Gemara that we started talking last week. But then when they keep, cheshbonning through, and once you make this assumption, cheshbon, when it all settles out, here these seem to be the rules. And the Mechaber Paschal is like, the Mechaber is quoting the Rambam consistently. Rambam is pointing to Rabbeinu Baruch. So according to for Ashkenazim, that should mean there's no way whatsoever to make a Blila Ava. And that's going to come up from time to time. Again, you're making cereal for kids, or you're making tuna fish salad, or so. The poskim write that in general Ashkenazim follow Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbi Mon, I'm not very familiar with the Sephardi Svarim, but Rabbi Mon is very interested in giving you both Ashkenazi and Sephardi Achronim. So it seems like there's a fair number of Sfaradi Achron who also are keen on following Rabbeinu Baruch. So that would mean halacha lamasa. Generally, you're going to avoid anything with a belila ava. You're going to avoid anything where you're making actually something thick, a dough. If it's raka and you do a shinoi, it's dachmoter. There are two ways out. So how are you going
to
make?
Yeah. You still have to put in the water before Shabbos.
And you should put in the water before Shabbos. Yeah. If you didn't put in the water before Shabbos, so then there are two ways out. There are two ways out. So are you going to make tuna fish? So are you going to make guacamole? Are you going to make farina for kids? Says Rav Hashem. At the right time to healthy children, and at different children need different things at different stages. That's true in a whole host of levels. But right now, we're dealing with the Siddur de Pas. Now we're just dealing with food. So there's a point in an infant's development where he's eating primarily cereal. I don't mean like Cheerios or Fruit Loops. I mean, cereal mixed with liquid. Bits of rice mixed with liquid, powdered rice or powdered wheat mixed with liquid. Hot oatmeal, but for babies. So that's mamish this. So the question is, how do you handle it? How do you handle it? Or let's say you're feeding your animals. Perhaps it's not yet. No one here has yet moved there to become a farmer, which at least some of you will be zocha. So then the opportunity, like Moshe Rabbeinu, it gives you opportunity for so many areas of halacha. Sign there, it's a straw sign. Sign halacha is only applied to farmers. So what are you going to do? So you often are trying to make. You're not making hot cereal or warm cereal. We'll get to the bishul part the next semester, Hashem. You're not making warm cereal that is that's a blila raka. You're not making something liquidy. You try to make something solid. You're making the food for the animals. You're trying to make something solid. Again, I don't mean rock solid, but a blue lava. So how do you handle it? So because again, this ultimately for Ashkenazim, this is primarily where it's at. Rabbi Mabarach, raka, and Ashini Belisha. So there are two ways out. There are three ways to deal with it. One is Nechami. You have to take care of it next. Maybe you can make your Vlila Avas in advance, and that's generally what you're going to try to do. Make your Vlila Avas in advance, especially if it's not. We have refrigeration. There's almost all the poskim that we're reading did not have refrigeration, and my good friend Rabbi Ezra Schwartzschlita has pointed out to me a number of times over the years that we tend to often not notice the extent to which the history of technology is very important in learning Sifrei Halacha. Like, you have to be attuned to what technology were they dealing with so you can figure out what they consider the Tzorach. You figure out what Metzias they're talking about and you figure out what they're considering to be Tzorach and so on and so forth. So, Bechalal, Rabbi Schwartz pointed out to me today, the concern of Tzorach is much less as well. Because we have a refrigerator, so there are so many things you can do in our shops. Okay. So, a lot of times, advanced preparation is yisod in life in general. Advanced preparation will solve 90% of your problems. And then you have to deal with the other 10%, as well as the cases when you forgot to do advanced preparation. So one approach is nechami. So make it for Shabbos. Let's say you didn't, or let's say you couldn't. Some things, even with a refrigerator, might not taste quite the same. Post can talk about that a lot. So the Mishnah Berurah, there's long discussion about how to make the tzibbel and ayer, how to make eggs and onions. This was like a classic Eastern European Shabbos food. You cut it, you dice your eggs and you dice your onions and you mix them with oil and it looks like mamish. That sounds like that's Felicia. Mamish. So there's a lot of barkibul, but it's not becoming a single coherent whole. Obviously, there are individual pieces of egg and onion that you can pull out, but it hangs together. It hangs together. So the post can get very excited. Oh, it's like a big sharuria. Yes, no, the minig is to matir, can be matzik, why? Or you should do it differently, you shouldn't do it differently. A whole discussion. But again, depending on what the recipe is, but it seems that usually the recipe was a blila, raka. It's okay, so do it with your finger.
or do a shesiv erev, and you're good to go. Lila Raka with a shina and a lisha, the Ramah says it's fine. But I mean, if you can do it before Shabbos, why not? But strictly speaking, Lila Raka, shina and lisha, and if need be, the liquid is put in advance. Because after all, Rabbeinu Baruch passes like that power of Yudanasi also, that Nisina's mind itself is lush. Okay. But let's say you want to make a blue lava. So again, so one solution is do it beforehand. Avoid the problem. Another solution is the post can do right that Lutzora, if there's a significant Tzorah, you forgot to make the food for your child before, for the infant before Shabbos. Okay? So Lutzorah Gadol, then you can say, the post can write, L'chadchila, whenever possible, try the Ashkenazim or Machmer for Rabbeinu Baruch. But strictly speaking, we really should be following Rov Rishonim and following Rabbi Yehuda. In which case, even Belila Ava can be Mutter. Right? For the Mechabra's Rambam, if you make it ma'at ma'at, it'll be mutter. For the tour, if you ma'at with the shino, it's going to be mutter. The Rambam also, if it's a davar gas, tuna fish with a shino, that'll be mutter. So that's option number two. Option number two is if it's a tzara gadol, so then we would be willing to make go against the bar. And then there's option number three, which is, you have to think about whether a situation really qualifies as lush at all or not. I think that's one way of pulling together some of the following scenarios. So one type of scenario which we, this sort of action is not considered to be lush at all when you're adding liquid to thin something instead of to thicken. And that comes up, I think Shmuel Shabbos quotes from earlier poskim, that if it's not going to work so well, it does, even with a refrigerator, but it doesn't work. It's not ideal to make baby cereal before Shabbos. It just, the texture, the consistency, it goes funny. It won't spoil, but it's not going to be particularly tasty. And you may be zocha to discover that not every infant is always absolutely willing to eat whatever you put in front of him or her. And, you know, you increase your odds by making it more appetizing. So there's significant tzorach in your baby cereal being, for instance, being appetizing. And if it's going to be a little bit rubbery because you made it 10 hours ago, you put it in the refrigerator, it's nice you made it for Shabbos, but if he or she's not going to eat it, you really haven't accomplished anything. So one of the approaches the post can have is make it before Shabbos with enough liquid that it's already coherent, it's all stuck together, and then add more liquid on Shabbos. Add more liquid on Shabbos and mix in. The lisha is already done. At that point, you're thinning it. You're not thickening it. You're not creating chibur. The chibur is already created. The parts are already stuck together. At this point, you're doing anti-lisha. So thinning. Thinning is, so again, if you're thinking about solutions, then solution number one in the lar, big adol, was advanced prep. As the Gemara says, Mishatarach Be'er Shabbos, Yochum Shabbos, which is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, and also those who, if you mishabruz at your fingertips, you'll remember that's also one of the mishalim for the relationship between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Okay, so that's solution number one. Solution number two is for a significant tzarech, not shasad chak, but tzarech gadol, will be meiko against Rabbeinu Baruch. Then number three is to think about the cases that are not lish at all. And number one is thinning. So again, one example of the thinning is the farina is already made, the cereal is already made, you already mixed it with liquid, you made a thick paste, then you're going to add more liquid on Shabbos. Another example of thinning
The Rav Shechter thought that to make guacamole, specifically, he discovered the Torah Tochen, so sort of Moshe Feinstein assumes that just to make a mush out of an item, to take a banana and not breaking it to pieces. Chaz Nisha thought that mushing a banana, mushing an avocado is Tochen. Moshe Feinstein said, no, you're not breaking it to pieces, it's you're just reshaping it. Even the Shmir Shabbos, who's note to the Chaz Nisha, I believe he at least considers, well, but if you took the banana and you squeezed it while it's still inside before you peeled it, so then maybe even the Chaz Nisha says, it's mamish, one, I get Kli, I guess, I'm not sure. So the question is, so that was a Tochen issue. Now you have your mashed avocado, which in English we call guacamole, because we want to sound fancy, but in Bivrit, you just call it salat avocado. Very straightforward. But the salat avocado means not just mashed avocado, but then you mix in, obviously, other stuff. Specifically, you mix in lemon or lime juice. So Rav Shechter thought that that's a sort of similar thing. That if anything, I believe, when you mix in the lemon or lime juice, it actually makes it maybe there's some people here who are more experienced in guac making. But I think that actually makes it a little bit thinner. Right? It's another example of thing. It's not like the Dysa, the cereal that you already did Lisha. Here is just, it adheres the avocado, the mashed avocado adheres to itself, but the adding the lemon or adding the lime, that's going to just thin, so that's not called Lisha. It doesn't matter. That is a Bli La'ava. Clearly, avocado is a Bli La'ava, and the cereal is a Bli La'ava, but then you're not doing Lisha. It's only us here to do Lisha to Bli La'ava. Yeah, question.
Why is it not still mixing as mine?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if I add lemon juice, is that mixing as mine? So, L'chorin mixing as mine. Nesinas Mayim is Asr as a part of Lisha. But here, I mean, to reductio ad absurdum, you wouldn't say that pouring water in a cup is Nesinas Mayim is Asr mitam Lisha, even because you're an Asr, because that's not a Lisha Dika Nesinas Mayim. So here, where it's only serving to thin what's already there, it's not leading to any sort of thickening. And another behavior, another type of pu'ula that's not lush is if it's dissolving. Shmir Shabbos talks about this somewhat, and the Shechter was very direct about this. And the post can talk about that you're allowed to make chocolate milk on Shabbos. You're allowed to make coffee. But then leaving out any of the bishulish, assuming you're avoiding, sidestepping any bishulishes, but if you have instant coffee, where it's you're mixing the coffee powder into not just making a tea where there are microscopic particles that are mixing into the water. You have instant coffee and you mix it, and now it's gone. It all got mixed into the water. Or you take Quick, or whatever your preferred chocolate powder is, and you mix it, and now it's gone. And now it's in the it's in the milk. So, isn't that lush? I took a liquid, I took a solid, and mixed them together. So forget about bishul issue, klishi, 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 forget about the bishul issues. You can't make coffee because it's lush. So since many post-Kamino stuff, there's no lush. If you create a liquid, it's not lush. So Shechter's Nusuf was, it's not lush because you're dissolving. In other words, lisha is about the being mechaber the pieces. Again, they tell Hans a little bit, is mechaber the solid piece to each other. Using liquid is the chibur of the solid pieces to the liquid. The point is, I have the solid pieces. The classic lush is, again, flour. Flour and water to make dough. Soil and water to make mud, or to make concrete. Right? Where, the anything there, the water dissolves. And what we're, the water, not dissolves, the water absorbs into the part of solid particles, and thereby everything adheres. But here, you're not getting the solid particles to adhere to anything as separate, as identifiable items. If the solid particles are dissolving into liquid, so then that's going to be mutter. I believe that Shmir Shabbos explains that's why it's mutter to mix sugar into yogurt. To mix sugar into yogurt, so let's say you have plain yogurt, so you can train yourself to enjoy plain yogurt, a lot of advantages to that, or you can mix sugar into your plain yogurt, or buy pre-made. The Shmir Shabbos was certain. The first edition of Shmir Shabbos was written in a much simpler time. The early edition of Shmir Shabbos, he talks about, he talks later when he talks about Hilchas Ner Shabbos. He talks about can you use electrolytes Ner Shabbos? It could be that you can't because the electricity is so unreliable that those are psilos or shmanim. They're not like that's the Mishnayos in Bai Malikin. That was at a time when the grid. And the country is still being built. The infrastructure is mamish in its infancy. So, Baruch Hashem. So he's also assuming, if you want to have sweet yogurt, obviously you mix sugar into yogurt to make it sweet. I'm going to go to the store and buy sweetened yogurt. How you talking? What type of luxury is that? So that's also, there the sugar just totally dissolves. It dissolves into the yogurt. So that's not, you can't say I was machaber the sugar particles to anything. Sugar particles disappeared. I mean, not conservation of matter. They not disappeared. They disappeared as they lost their batel, not in the halachic sense, but they no longer have. They're no longer identifiable. They're no longer identifiable. Then there's no loss. Whether it's a solid like yogurt or a liquid like coffee, it's going to be the same thing. Yeah, question.
If you're let's say making chocolate milk, in the stage between it being powder and liquid, and the stage of it being completely dissolved. Usually ends up being like clunks of
Yes, yeah, so some of the posts talk about which is mikra din, but it might not be a bad idea to I wouldn't pour in a small amount of milk. That's what I wouldn't do. I would not pour in a small amount of milk. Sometimes kids have their rituals for how they make chocolate milk. So I've definitely observed you make like sauce, and then it's like some guys have their rituals on how they make the chalons. Like you have guys like they have to saute the vegetables, the onions first for an hour, then you put in everything else. If you did a scientific method, if you actually experiment, I'm not sure that really matters in terms of the taste, but like that's fine. Every Shabbat you want to saute the onions if you have the time, you can saute. But if you're going to make add a small amount of milk to the cocoa powder, first and make like a syrup and then mix in more milk, yeah, that might taka be a problem. Okay? At that point, you really are that making a sauce, making a paste is bli lava, making a sauce, depending on how liquid it is, bli lava, bli raka, then you're talking, get yourself into trouble. So put in a lot of milk and just start stirring. If you do that, put a lot of milk right away and stir right in and just stir. So that should be, that lechora should be fine. And Mishibura talks about, I think, it's not nikar. It's not, so it's pouring a lot of water. Pouring a lot of water on, then the whatever tiny bits of temporary leisha going on, it's not going to be nikar. That's not an issue. Yeah, question.
So two questions. So like Turkish coffee would be possible?
Turkish coffee. Ooh, that's an interesting question. And when you make Turkish coffee, you end up making mamish blila ova. It's like you can't even use a metal. You need a metal spoon to clean up the cup. It's interesting, Shaila. Interesting, Shaila. You're not. Meaning the part that you're drinking is obviously not a leisha at all.
But when it's still like there's still connecting. Still, I mean, some more water. The water's not dissolving into the. Particles of the particle aren't dissolving, I'll leave it. But yeah, I guess at the very least the.
It's a psikration. In other words, you're not really interested in creating the boats at the bottom.
The hotzi, right?
Right. If anything, it would be easier if it wasn't there. But it's a psikration. I'm not sure. Maybe I never thought about that. Taka. You have to stop making Turkish coffee in Java. It's important. Taka point, I never thought of that. Could be Taka Lisha.
Is that not considered Mahat?
Is that considered? Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure is that ma'at ma'at, because that's mamish the normal way. The point of ma'at ma'at presumably is that it's a type of a shina. It's not shina echas ha'pu'ula, but it's a shina the kamos ha'pu'ula. Normally you do this pu'ula, you're going to make tuna fish salad, a bowl of tuna fish salad. So you mamish make like a little bit, a spoonful, another spoonful, another spoonful, another spoonful. So ma'at ma'at is a shina. Or at least a hecker. That may be an important point. There is a discussion in response to that question. There is a discussion about when you talk about the Seder Hanasina, the Gemara says, oh, you put this in, the liquid, the solid liquid. So the Poskim say, but if you normally do it the other way around, whatever is normal, you do the opposite. And how about if there is no standard? So some Poskim say, then Seder Hanasina doesn't help. It's all asr because there's no Shini available. But the Truz Hadeshim seems to say if either way is normal, then just follow the Gemara's instructions. Why? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a number of Achronim who follow that, Chok Yaakov, a couple of others follow that. I think the Lundus is you can't call it a Shinui if both of them are normal. Neither one's a Shinui, but because the Gemara said it, therefore, but now it's normal. I think what it means, I think the impression you get from the Shulchan Aruch, and basically it's close to Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chavav, is that maybe it's not a shinoi as much as a hecker. In other words, either way would be normal, but my hakpada to follow the sequences the Gemara lays out is a hecker that will remind me to not fall into a daraisa. It'll remind me that I have to be careful about the way I do it. Maybe. But I don't think any of this, would that help with the... If I made Turkish coffee by the shot glass, and I did it four or five times, so that I have a whole mug of Turkish coffee, that would be ma'at ma'at. But on the other hand, it's a blue lava, so Ben Baruch would say it doesn't help. But on the other hand, there's no way to make this before Shabbos. You can't make Turkish coffee before Shabbos. So
even the Torah would say
that it's still ava. It's only for the Baal Shem, it's only one check you're getting.
Yeah.
Even for the tour, it might be a problem because
you're not. Yeah. It has to do with the shinui. You're pouring the water first. So the shinui would be pouring the water first and then pouring the coffee afterwards. So you pour the water first, then pour the coffee afterwards, and you would do it in small doses, four rounds, and then you have a whole mug full, so then you're going to make the tour happy. It could be according to the Mechaber with the Rambam, as long as you do Ma'at Ma'at. Maybe. Is it about Hebel? I don't know. Yeah, it's got to think about more. Yeah, it could talk it be it's a problem. I did not see a post we talk about it. That's something to think about. Maybe it's a psikoreshe. Making Turkish coffee is a psikoreshe. Psikoreshe of Lush.
And also,
we're not done? One more question.
Can I?
Sure.
You said the Chazon Ish said if something's pourable, then it makes it racha. What's the, how pourable are you talking about?
Well, pourable. Liquid, I mean, that's usually the divide line between liquids and solids.
So, if you feel like pour, like oatmeal, it might take a few minutes.
No. Like ketchup. Okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be as thin as ketchup. But something that could actually pour. Right, I mean, if you hold oatmeal at angle oatmeal, eventually will fall out, either bit by bit or fully. Again, going back to the infant who's eating or otherwise dispensing with oatmeal. Yes. I think it's usually, maybe there may be certain things which are on the edge, I think it's usually relatively discernible. So again, all of this, the tour, the Rambam, that's all assuming that the pu'ula I'm doing is Lisha. If it's Lisha, then we have to figure out how many factors I need to play for it to not only be Potter, but Mutter. Blila Ava, Blur, Blila Rocket, with the Shinui, what type of Shinui, and Ma'at, Ma'at, Davar Gas. But again, if the pu'ula I'm doing is not Lisha at all, then it should be Mutter. So if I'm thinning, then that's not Lush. If I'm dissolving the solid, whether into liquid or into yogurt, that's not Lush. Or, sorry, Shefter thought to be mechalic between, I think others also are mechalic between, to say, if I have, sometimes I get some brands of hummus, apparently want to have efficient. I assume it's a matter of efficiency in the factory. That even though they make different flavors, they don't actually make different flavors. They just make hummus, and then after they fill the container with hummus, they drop on whatever the flavoring items are. Drop on the za'atar, drop on the pine nuts, whatever it is. And they drop on a little bit of that, and then you mix it in. So mixing that on Shabbos. Is that lush? So Shefter thought, and I think others say this also, yeah, they put a little bit of za'atar. There's a lot of discussion. If you get into tchina, there's a lot of discussion about making tchina. It's beyond the scope of this chavura. It's all from these yisodos, but there's a lot of discussion on how to make tchina, how much a tchina making process can be done on Shabbos, and there's rich discussion in contemporary Ashkenazi and Sephardi tshuvas from. But let's say the mixing the za'atar into the hummus, the Shefter said it's not even connected. How can you talk about you're being machaber the pieces of za'atar to one another? One piece over here, one piece over there, one piece over there. If you're mixing in like spoonfuls of cocoa, spoonfuls of cinnamon, and the whole thing is going to be colored, so then you have to start figuring out, is it minachanami? Is it taka lush or not? But if the particles are distanced, and then that's just not lush. It's just, there's no chibur between that term you keep seeing in the Maran Sfarim, chalakikim. Chalakik is a mini chalak. Chalak is a part. Again, in English also, a chalak is a part, a chalakik is a particle, a tiny part. So if there's no chibur between the chalakikim, so then you can't call that, you cannot call that lush. And then there's one other solution. It's sort of like these. Call it four, either this type of four or that type of four. There could also be a case where the nature of the case is such that's not lush at all, but the nature of the case is such as only a lush d'rabbanan. So then you may be able to make even on a belila ava. And that comes up specifically in the context of the tzibbel and ayir, the onions and the eggs, or maybe a more contemporary, depending on your tastes. If you're not the fellow who's eating gala and the grievous, so maybe tzibbel and ayir isn't in your wheelhouse either, but tuna fish is. So making tuna fish on Shabbos. Rav Rimon, long discussion, as you may have seen, about tuna fish on Shabbos. Tzadim lahako ahinaher. So he had lots to say. It's good to see it. He's a richos about the tuna fish. Very geschmack. The sugi of tuna fish. So the chef's presentation was the following. See, he said that Shmir Shabbos, maybe about the tzibah. I don't think Shmir Shabbos talks about tuna, but he does talk, and that's maybe the newer edition. But he does talk about the eggs. The Shmir Shabbos quotes in the Mishnah Berurah that there's no lush on a davar mavushal. Because classic Lisha comes before Bishal. The Teres Astrali point out, talks about that in the context of Tochein. Maybe there's no Tochein on a vegetable that's already cooked. So the Shemir Shabbos sees in the Mishnah Berurah that there's no lush on Dover Mushal whatsoever. Heter Gamma, the tuna fish is cooked. The eggs are boiled. You're good to go. As a matter of fact, the mayonnaise, if that matters, is also. It's also already been cooked. So Shefter thought he disagreed with Shmir Shabbos as reading Mishnah Berurah. He didn't think Mishnah Berurah is saying Heter Gamer, but that it's an Isser Dirabanan rather than Daraisa. Like Belila Raka, when you're dealing with Davar Mavushal, it's impossible to get to Lisha Daraisa. So tuna fish is a Belila Ava, tuna fish salad is a Belila Ava. So Lav Bar Gibel, not blending it. Obviously, there are individual chunks of tuna fish, or individual chunks of tuna fish. So that would be so making the tuna fish. So making the tuna fish is going to be mutter if you once it's mavushal. So then just add a shinui and you're good to go. So instead of mixing it normal the way you would during the week, the dusha siva erev, it'll be a little non-uniform. Some parts will be more mayonnaise-y, some parts will be less mayonnaise-y, but that's exactly the point. Okay, so it won't be a perfectly sure. Or you can make it before Shabbos. Make it before Shabbos. That's obviously the Derech HaMelech. If you think that your tuna fish won't taste quite the same, so then you could... if you think your tuna fish won't be the same, so then you could definitely do it... being that the Davar Mavushal, you should be able to do it with Shesi Ve'ev, you should be able to do it with Ashina. If you want to make the tuna fish with he would start talking tuna fish with celery. So I think tuna fish with celery pieces is a taste that's not as common. It's like Havza Alfi Avdol. So it's like, you know, WhatsApp as opposed to TikTok. Like, you know, the older generation eats with celery more than the younger generation. Tuna fish with celery is healthy. Mutter, kosher, hopefully. Kasher is a tuna fish, a separate conversation. And healthy, unlike the mashal, so obviously, like any mashal, there are severe limitations to it. But if you would want, if it matters to you significantly to have celery in your cut up pieces of celery in the tuna fish, that already becomes a little more complicated. Because the celery, the whole cup of the celery, that adds some crunch and crispness to it because it's raw. So you no longer can rely on the mavushal. I see. Now you can have pieces of celery that are mechubar by the tuna fish, but it's clearly a lav bar gibol. If it's significant, if it's insignificant to have the celery, to leave out celery. If that makes the tuna fish for you, I think that if you want to have tuna fish with celery at Shal Shittas, making it Erev Shabbos, and it sits in the liquid for 24 hours, it's not going to be the same. Then that goes back to then maybe you can rely with tzorech. If it's enough of the tzorech to have this, if enough of the tzorech to have celery and tuna fish, so then maybe you can rely on the non-Rav Meir Baruch approach, and that in which case, even though it's ava, if you're going to let's say the mechaber plus the Rambam, if you do ma'at ma'at, we're definitely mutter, or you do the shinui. And it is a davar gas. Right? The mechaber goes to the Rambam. A davar gas plus a shinui, or a davar gas blila rak is mutter. So it is a davar gas. The celery is very much a davar gas, as is a tuna fish. So that, and plus to do with a shinui, so then that would be mutter. So
how is that different than the chumus and zatar case? The particles are separate.
Yeah, so that's true. I guess it depends on how much celery you put in a chanami. If there's very little celery, but sometimes you have taka have a lot of celery. One closing point, we've focused almost entirely on the issues of gibol. But just one closing point, halacha lamase, and this will actually wrap us back and be a nice way to close by wrapping us back to the very first malacha that we learned this year. And an issue that the Nos HaKelim raised there is, remember we learned Hilchos Zareya, so the poskim talk about being careful by eating and particularly drinking on top of grass, and certainly not to pour water on the grass, because that's a problem. Yeah, I'm not really interested. I'm just pouring out the rest of my drink, but I said there's grass there, so that's Mashka Maramel's Ram is a problem. So Poskim, but the Magen Avraham quotes, and later Nos HaKelim pick up on him, that pouring liquid onto soil, so if there's nothing growing there, it's not a Mashka Maramel's Ram, if it's just empty soil. But pouring liquid onto empty soil, let's say, hypothetically speaking, you have a tent minyan on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and you gotta wash, Kohanim have to wash their hands for duchen. So let's say you have a tent in a park, you have a tent on grass. So where are you gonna wash your hands? So wash your hands on the grass, that's the problem, Mashka Mayim was wrong. There's an area that's just empty soil. The area of the park that the kids played on so much, there's no grass left. The grass gone. So it's not a Zoraya problem, but the Magen Avraham points out, yeah, but now you have a lush problem. You're pouring water onto soil. See, even if we don't, even if Nikra Adin, we don't pass like like Yunasi would take to pour water into soil is mamish a chiyuv daraisa, chiyuv skila. Even if you don't hold like Yunasi, it's still aser, means Rabbanan. Just like being megabel alav bar gibel is not chayiv, but asum Rabbanan, just like making a gibel of belila raka is not chayiv, asum Rabbanan, nesina samayim onto soil is mamish, if the soil is a real bar gibel. So that's at least if you hold Rabbi Baruch would say is mamish chiyuv daraisa. If you hold Rabbi Baruch, pouring water onto soil is nesinas mayim, which is at least aser midrabanan. So that's what the Magen Avraham points out. You really should avoid that also. So you should really walk to the street and pour doing the tears of dying rather on the asphalt where there's obviously no concern. That's not as we were talking before. That's not nesinas mayim. But to pour water, I suppose you even say it could be if it's indirect. You're pouring water on the stone where it may end up flowing onto the soil. Maybe that they're ready. You could. It's maximus, Mikra did it's Rabbanan, and it's only Kach Sheni. Maybe that's Mutter. But to pour water, and Magen Avraham also talks about urinating on soil, is a problem. Even though obviously your interest is not. If no interest in doing Lisha, okay, that's a psik reisha of Lisha. There's either psik reisha of Daraisa of Lisha, according to Rabbi Yonasi and Ben Baruch, or it's a psik reisha of Drabanan, and Nisina's mind is a Drabanan of Lisha. So either way, those are some of the practical points to avoid in terms of Nisina's mind.